Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Of course, Pink, one of the many, many performers, acts and concerts that took place over the weekend. And we're well and truly into the summer festival season at this stage. If you're an avid music fan, though, beware of the talkers at gigs. So warns Emer McLysis. She was writing about this in the Irish Times over the weekend, that while it might seem difficult, you know, for some to spend a small fortune in tickets and drinks and babysitters, only to then stand metres from a musical idol and to chat about Siobhan's weekend in Malaga. And to others, it seems that this is what is going on and what actually going to a concert truly means. Like, it is kind of infuriating. Whatever, I don't mind people when they're at a gig. Sure, look, I do it myself. You're there, you're, you know, watching Pink or whoever it is, and you're singing along at the top of your voice. And, you know, God love me, I can't sing, but I do like to think that I can, like many of the rest of you, and you're in full flight singing away at the performance. But then you've got the people that chat, and they just stand there, and they're in full catch-up mode with their mates, and they're talking about every single thing that has happened in their life over the course of the 48 hours. Lawrence is with us on the line in Wicklow. Lawrence, have you experienced this at gigs?
Yes, I have experienced this at gigs. At the Dixie Chicks, Neil Diamond in New York, all the time in the cinema, but that's another conversation.
What annoys you about it?
What annoys me about it is a couple of things. There's the expense of the tickets. That's one thing. That's kind of an obvious one. So someone's kind of spoiling something that was actually quite expensive to attend. And then when I was at the Neil Diamond gig in Madison Square Garden, it was like a spontaneous thing. Some guy was selling a ticket on the streets of New York. So I bought a ticket, went.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, and I can't remember what song he's singing, but I'm having quite an emotional reaction to this song, and it's just an amazing experience. And then two people beside me just yapping away and kind of spoiling the moment. And I don't expect people to change what they're doing to suit my requirements, but you're kind of like, what are you doing here? Like, just yapping about what you did on the weekend or whatever. When you have Neil Diamond here singing, it's hard to...
Just
doesn't make any sense.
But do people, you know, singing along, does that bother you, or is it just really when it's constant chat?
It's just it's just like this constant chat that's out of context with the event. So when I was at the Dixie Chicks with my girlfriend, we're standing there enjoying the gig, and there was a group of three or four, they sounded American, but it doesn't really matter. And they were just speaking really loud about whatever, like nothing to do with the gig. And yeah, it's just like so loud that they're interfering with your ability to hear the music and connect with it. So I think it's about volume more so than anything else. Like sometimes it's just the volume that people speak at, you know, rather than what they're talking about.
Yeah, Richard has got in touch as well. He says, I totally agree that we should have talk-free zones at gigs. I actually had to move 5 times at Sting's gig at Malahide Castle last summer because people were talking during the song, and the same at Springsteen's gig in Kilkenny last month. I had actually to turn around and ask a group of people, would they keep quiet during one particular song?
Yeah, we actually moved because I was getting frustrated. So I just thought to myself, look, just move. And you have this kind of thought in your mind that why should I be the one that needs to move? But there's a famous psychologist who recommended, like, if you're having a problem with something and changing your location could be a solution, then that's the path of least resistance. Just go and move. You know, if that solves the problem,
Is it really up to the other concert goers, Vicky? Is it really up to them to move?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm not as young as I used to be, so I'm a seated person now. When we go to gigs in the 03 or whatever the point is called now, I mean, we're sitting down and watching somebody fantastic. I mean, I've been there, I've seen ABBA Orchestral and Ages Orchestral recently with my cousin, who's my little compadre for gig going. And I just don't understand why all these people are standing around chatting. And, like, if they want to go out for dinner first, if they haven't seen each other for a while, and catch up and chat about what's going on in their lives, I think that's great. Like, that's what we do. I meet my cousin earlier. We have something to eat. We have a coffee or we have a glass of wine. and we talk about what's going on in each other's lives, and then we get excited. And, oh, I'm so excited to see this. And we go in, and we might, you know, be bopping along or singing along with the stuff, but we didn't go there for a chat. You know, and people, I actually told people to shut up. I won't say what. Oh,
yeah. But would you? You'd confront them, Vicky, you would.
I would, yeah. Yeah. I didn't pay 100 and odd quid and take time. Like, I don't have, my child is growing up now. My cousin has young children, and she has to organise a babysitter, a time to leave. Like, it's a whole palaver for her to go somewhere. You know, not for me. I just hop on the Lewis. My daughter is nearly 19 now, and she'll drop me to the Lewis and pick me up, and it's great, and I can go to, you know, the Free Arena or anywhere I want to go, you know, Fort Gosh or anything. But I don't understand. I mean, I've paid hundreds and hundreds over the years to see various different people.
Yeah.
I didn't see Pink this time, but I saw her twice the last time she was here. She was absolutely
unbelievable.
Amazing. Unreal. I'm doing trapeze acts and singing live, and she was funny, and everything was just amazing. And I was there with my godchild, who's an adult now as well, but she was quite young at the time. And all these other kids that were around her age at the time, about 17, and all they were doing was showing each other crap on their phones. Look at me, this is me in this outfit. And I said, well, if you never shut the heck up.
And what did they say, Vicky, when you said that to them?
Shut up, you fat old blah, blah, blah. You know, I said, look, I didn't pay this money to hear you guys and show each other pictures of each other in different outfits or hair on phones. And not, I said, what did you come to see Pink for? Why did you come to a concert? Why did you not just go to a cafe or McDonald's?
Have a chat.
And show each other pictures of each other in a different outfit or blah, blah, blah. What are you doing it now for?
Yeah, one of the other texters here, Vicky, makes the point. These people are only going to the events. They've no interest in the artist at all. It's purely for the Instagram profile.
Yeah, well, that's horse crap. It's absolute horse crap. There are people like me, and the people like me who love music and have been to many concerts over the years. And I'm still going to concerts, and I'm looking forward to whatever's coming up next. And I think it's October, something fantastic is coming up again with my cousin. Again, who'll have to wrangle all sorts of jiggery pokery to get her children minded. You know, so she and I can go out. We meet beforehand, like I said. We meet a half an hour beforehand. We might have something
have
to eat,
the catch up, and then
a coffee, a glass of wine, a chat about how you're getting on. Grant. And then there's other people there that are doing the very, very same thing. They're all having the chats, and they go in because they've gone to great lengths to pay the money they pay.
And to look, tickets are expensive. There's no doubt about it. This listener says, I was at Ed Sheeran in Croke Park a couple of years ago, and some fella beside me was talking loudly to his friend about the tax implications of his defined contribution pension. In fairness, though, it was actually more interesting than Ed's music, says this listener. Tim McStay, I should say, is with us as well, Vicky, on the line. Tim's a singer-songwriter. Do Lawrence and Vicky's experience, does that ring through for you?
Yeah, well, I won't act the beleaguered songwriter now, but I'd love to bottle Vicky there and bring her to my gig. She could stand guard, you know, and sort of police it. To be honest, I think a lot of what people are saying there is correct, but it kind of comes from, to some extent, from the context of the music. You know, I remember reading David Byrne's book of Talking Heads about music, and like 150 years ago, people went to opera and shouted at the stage and abused the artists. And then at a certain point, it turned around as it was a very formal, quiet thing, you know. But I do think when you play, in my case, Andrea, I'm writing songs, and I'm hoping people are going to actually sit and listen to them, you know. And so I think it's down to the value people put on music, no more than the others there. You know, I went to James Taylor in the Three Arena a while ago with my wife, and there was people all around us talking. And to me, James Taylor is close to God, you know, and I just want to hear him sing. So I don't quite understand why people spend 75, 80, 90 quid going to something just as I think it was Vicky said there, go to the pub if you like. But I played a gig a few weeks ago, and there was a couple at the back, God bless them, and they were having an argument, and then they increased the volume of the argument to try and outdo the volume of the music we were playing. But it's not always like that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
but you see, it's a different
if
people...
You can act too touchy, you know what I mean, from the stage.
It's a different, though, Tim, if people are singing along rather than actually just, you know, chatting about their week in Malaga.
Ah, yeah, well, that's the cream, you know. If you get that when you're up there playing, you love that. But, I mean, at the same time, I played in the Linen Hall in Castlebar, a lovely theatre, just last November. I remember which I was supporting Ger O'Donnell and Trevor Sexton, two great guys, and have a full theatre of 120 people just sitting quietly and listening. It's really the golden one if you're into being a singer-songwriter, you know. But you can do it in different ways. You can, you know, when I was younger, I was in rock bands, and you don't have that expectation that people are going to keep quiet at a rock gig and playing the Bag It In or somewhere like that. I had a band called The Resistors, and, you know, we'd go there on a Wednesday night, and you knew people were coming to have a few pints and have a laugh, and if they were into your songs, they'd sing along with them or whatever. But, you know, I do think there are different ways of tackling this. I think it also comes back to the value people put on music nowadays. You only have to look at what artists get off Spotify and things like that to realise that it's been devalued to some extent.
And that's part of it.
Yeah. And it's, of course, the golden outcome for you if you have a group of people sitting there listening, you know, and that's what you want. You know?
Rory is on the line in Cork. Rory, I believe you have a solution to all of this. You think that the bars should be closed during the gigs?
Well, I was at the National at the stadium there last year in September, and you know, we'd booked tickets 6 months ahead and had planned the trip and the night stay over and everything, and to then go and have to, you know, it was seated so we were sitting up looking at the band, and you know, we enjoying the songs, and to hear one thing was to hear a conversation going on in the background, which I can still recite today, and then to be into, you know, every 10 minutes also have people coming back and forth in the aisles, and we were like three seats in from the end of the aisle, and there were people, we were having to get up and down every 5 minutes for people getting in with pints and all this kind of thing. And I'm just thinking, you know, I just know, are people just going for a piss up, or are they going to listen to the music? And the conversation going on in the background, you know, would stop if they knew a song. But when the band was coming up with new songs that nobody, you know, from their new album, which, you know, I knew a lot of because I'd listened to it. But you know, they weren't interested. They were just yapping away about the party they were going to have for the girl that was going away to Qatar or something.
Sure, they'll chat Dubai, even if the bar is open or not.
Yeah, the bar, in my view, you know, there's no reason for them to be open while the gig is on.
What if people want to go out and get a pint?
Well, if it's interfering with people who are trying to watch the gig and enjoy the gig, you know, if you're having to stand up and sit down and stand up again every time they move to go for a leak or go for a pint, I mean, it's irritating, you know,
because
you paid money, you paid a lot, and it just defies why, you know. And I don't mind a pint. It's not like I'm a prude in that sense, but you know, I'd rather have a few drinks before the gig and then for the interval have a few drinks and then enjoy the music while the band are playing, and that's whether I'm sitting or standing. You know, I was at Sting and Blondie the other night, and we had a great night. But, you know, there were still people chatting in the background, and luckily we were ahead of enough of the audience to be able to ignore it and get into the band. But, you know, there were still people walking back and forth with pints through the crowd during that. And I, you know, talked to some of the bar staff afterwards. They couldn't understand why people were still buying pints during the gig while the music was on, you know. So I don't know. Maybe there's a call for you know, non-serving of pints during the actual
I don't know,
music.
Would you support this, Vicky?
I would definitely say that I think if you go in with a drink before the gig starts, or even you're greedy enough to bring in two, okay, fine, well, that's fair enough. But you know, you stay there unless you need to go to the loo. But I think it's kind of rude to, if you have to be half flushed to enjoy a gig. You know, why did you go? You know, you'd be better off staying at home and listening to the flipping, you know, listening to your music device, your whatever, and listening to whatever person you go and see. But up down for a pint. I understand you need to go to the bathroom. That's fine.
Yeah, but
the last time we were at the, I think it was the 80s gig, there was some fantastic people on, Carol Decker and Nick Kershaw and people like that, and people are just getting up and down. There's loads of people that are dressed in 80s style, and they were all there, and they had the best time ever. And they were just there to hear the music. And then I don't know whether it was the other halves of people that didn't really. They just went because they had a ticket. And I think, you know, they were kept going in and out of the bar. I think go into the bar and have a chat and stay in the bar.
Tim, does the up-down from the seats, whether it's for the pint or the toilet, does it bother you when you're on stage, or can you even see it happening?
I don't think you see it, you know. I mean, yeah, I'm not pink now. I haven't got that quite together yet, flying across the venue on a joy rope or whatever it is. But no, to be honest, I'm going to tell Vicky now, she's on the guest list immediately on my next gig if she wants to come.
There you go, Vicky. Great.
But I think, you know, in my case, for instance, I played a gig about 4 weeks ago with a pal of mine, Keith Burke, and we did it in a place called the Punch Bowl in Booterstown upstairs, and we laid it out in theatre style, and we had a little bar over in the corner, so you could get a pint, you could bring it with you and sit down in your seat, put it under your seat, whatever. I think actually, funny enough, one of the dynamics that gets in the way of it is when you have people at tables sitting around, they have the opportunity to look at you or look at each other, and they make a choice, you know. And when the pints start flowing, well, then it turns to United and Chelsea or something, you know. And that does get you. But on the other hand, you know, I played in the Cherry Tree in Walthamstown last Friday night, and it was brilliant, and the audience were great.
Yeah,
and
good interaction.
So much crack going on. You can't be too precious about
Chris says if you're continuously talking while somebody is singing, you're just showing your ignorance, selfishness and disrespect for others. Another listener says they saw Queen in Dubai and the girl next to them was so drunk that she threw up all over their shoes. I was absolutely raging. Pat says, I've never really noticed this at gigs, how loud these people are talking if they're drowning out the singer. The people have paid exorbitant prices for these tickets. They're entitled to talk if they want to. These people complaining just need to relax. Do you agree, Joan, with that last texter?
No, I absolutely don't. I've got to say, we went to Eric Clapton, and I'd say the last time we will ever see him. And these two guys sat behind us and they talked the whole way through, and everybody around them kept saying, will you just stop talking? Let us listen. They couldn't have cared less.
Really?
They just didn't care less. And equally, we were in Manchester for the Eagles, and a real pet hate of mine is torches on, flashing in my eyes. I don't mind them behind me, but this woman was recording. It's a lack of consideration for everyone, you know. It really is. Like that guy, actually, we were at another thing when we were in the UK, a circus in Buxton, and this couple like that were having a row and they were singing. Oh my God, it was so embarrassing. I just don't know how people... why they bother. I really just don't know why they bother.
I know. Would it put you off?
Or would you absolutely. We were so engrossed in this couple that were beside us doing all this dramatic stuff that we didn't even watch a lot of this show. It's just really disappointing.
I know. And particularly if you've travelled, Joan, for a gig abroad, or, you know, even just the prices you'd pay now to see any artist.
The chances of seeing either Eric Clapton or the Eagles again are slim to none, I would say. You know, we won't get to see them again. And these people kind of wonder, why did they bother? Anyway.
Yeah, why bother coming?
They just have no respect.
Yeah, well, Lister here makes the point. Didn't Christy Moore always command that the bar was closed when he was playing? I don't know, did he? He was one thought from one listener. Another texter says, talking loudly at a concert is the exact same as talking loudly at the cinema. No one came to listen to you. And this texter, I don't know when I was this person sitting beside me at Pink on Thursday night, but to be honest, people singing at the top of their voices like Andrea are worse because their volume is so much higher than the chat usually. And in fairness, you didn't pay to listen to other people sing. We don't want to listen to you singing, Andrea. You're dead right, though. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Keep your thoughts coming into us. Should we have no talking zones at concerts?
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.